From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning is found in Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. Behold, he prayeth. Prayers are instantly noticed in heaven. The moment Saul began to pray, the Lord heard him. Here is comfort for the distressed but praying soul. Oftentimes a poor broken-hearted one bends his knee, but can only utter his wailing in the language of sighs and tears. Yet that groan has made all the harps of heaven thrill with music. That tear has been caught by God. Thou puttest my tears into thy bottle, implies that they are caught as they flow. The suppliant, whose fears prevent his words, will be well understood by the Most High. He may only look up with misty eye, but prayer is the falling of a tear. Tears are the diamonds of heaven. Sighs are a part of the music of Jehovah's court, and are numbered with the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Think not that your prayer, however weak or trembling, will be unregarded. Jacob's ladder is high, but our prayers shall lean upon the angel of the covenant, and so climb its starry rounds. Our God not only hears prayer, but also loves to hear it. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. True, he regards not high looks and lofty words. He cares not for the pomp and pageantry of kings. He listens not to the swell of martial music. He regards not the triumphant pride of man. But wherever there is a heart big with sorrow, or a lip quivering with agony, or a deep groan, or a penitential sigh, the heart of Jehovah is open. He marks it down in the registry of his memory. He puts our prayers, like rose leaves, between the pages of his book of remembrance, and when the volume is opened at last, there shall be a precious fragrance springing up therefrom. Faith asks no signal from the skies to show that prayers accepted rise. Our priest is in his holy place, and answers from the throne of grace.
God's throne of grace is there for you. Come boldly to Him, there's grace ever new. His grace will meet your deepest need. He hears as you ask, He hears as you plead. Come boldly. Savior.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As part of this series of studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns has been considering the Ten Commandments in individual messages. Today he begins to deal with the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If ever a commandment suffered neglect, even by those who are believers in Jesus Christ, it is this one. Our society almost uniformly ignores the Lord's day. Indeed, Christians who seek to keep this commandment are regarded as peculiar. Some have lost their jobs because of their refusal to work on Sunday. What is the meaning of remember the Sabbath day? As Dr. Cairns will show, God invested each of the Ten Commandments with His divine majesty and authority. There has been much controversy about this commandment down through the centuries, but it is still in force. And those who desire to obey the Lord need to give it serious consideration. Now to introduce this message on the fourth commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His Word for His own name's sake. By choosing what the Hebrew Scriptures call 10 words to summarize the entire moral requirements of His law, the Lord has very obviously invested each of those words with an enduring majesty and with an awesome authority. Each of these 10 words is a law. It is a divine commandment spoken by the mouth of God and written by the finger of God in tables of stone. Now that goes for the fourth commandment just as much as for the other 9. And I want you to keep that in mind as we progress tonight. That goes for the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Or as we read in Deuteronomy 5, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. This commandment stands at the end of the first table of the law. You remember in the first commandment, the Lord demanded our exclusive worship. We should have no other gods. Then in the second commandment, the Lord laid down how we ought to worship, according to His dictate and revelation, and not according to the imagination of man. And then, in the third commandment, He enacted that we should reverence His holy name and every way in which He has revealed Himself to men. Now, in the fourth commandment, He stipulates a particular day. He stipulates the observance. The word observance is a very good word. To observe means not just to look at, but it means to keep and to guard. The observance of one day per week as His peculiar day, given to man as a divine gift for their good both physically and spiritually, and also to be sanctified for the Lord's glory. Now think of that for a moment, if you will. The Lord claims 1 day in 7. Now that alone should alert us to the importance of the fourth commandment. 1 day in 7. In other words, if you look at this in the light of an entire lifetime, the Lord is demanding that 1/7 part of all the time that He allots to people in this world will be set aside as a Sabbath unto the Lord. 1/7 part. The famous Southern Presbyterian preacher and theologian, late of the Columbia Theological Seminary, W.S. Plummer, drew attention to that. That this is a law that claims to regulate a 1/7 portion of human life. He said, if a man lives 21 years, this law controls 3 of those years. It's therefore important. But it also devotes this portion of time to religious purposes. These are the highest ends of all life. He makes this very insightful remark. All other time is secular. This is holy. That other time may be occupied with the things which perish in the using, but this holy time must be given to the things which take hold on eternity. So very clearly, the Lord intends us to see this as an important commandment. But despite the clear importance of the law, not one of the Ten Commandments has roused as much controversy or engendered as many questions or even as much strife as the Fourth Commandment. No other commandment that I know has otherwise sound Christians casting it off entirely as if it were a yoke of Jewish bondage. Indeed, many people see the Sabbath as ceremonial. It was part of the ceremonial law, and therefore it passed away with the other ceremonial laws of the Jews after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. No less a person than Martin Luther discarded the Sabbath entirely as Jewish. Even John Calvin looked upon the Sabbath as largely, though not entirely, ceremonial. And though Calvin did hold to having one day in seven as a Christian Sabbath, it was not in any way as a continuation of the old Sabbath law. And such views persist to this very day. The fourth commandment is only ceremonial. Therefore, it is no longer binding. That's the common view. Now, it's not my purpose tonight to take every argument, lift it up, look at it, think of it, turn it around, and then, after you're all bored to tears, try to come to the Scriptures. What I'm going to do will be simply to propose to you, I want you to notice very carefully what I'm setting out to prove, that the fourth commandment is still in force. That it finds its proper observance in our sanctifying the Lord's Day. Now that's what I'm setting out to prove tonight. And I think I'll be able to establish that quite clearly from Scripture, not from the opinions of men, but from the Word of Truth. And I'm asking you to give it your undivided attention. I'm asking you tonight to set aside your prejudices and what you've grown up thinking. I'm asking you to recognize that if, as I think I'll establish, this is the teaching of the Word of God, then it is an abomination beyond description the way modern Christians treat the Lord's Day. Is it any wonder the glory of God has departed from the house of God? When the very people of God count what God says is one of His most precious gifts as a vile thing, as an item of bondage, as something they will have nothing to do with. So let's give our attention as we set out to show from God's Word that the fourth commandment is still in force. And it finds its proper observance in our sanctifying the Lord's Day. And we will deal with the objections then as we go along. First, let me make this remark that the Sabbath is divine in its institution. The Lord specifically claims this day as His own peculiar day. Nehemiah 9:14 says, "Thou madest known unto them Thy holy Sabbath." The Sabbath belonged to God. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was the day He said is my day. Exodus 31, verse 13 and 14. "Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. It is the day that God claimed as his own. When you go back to the book of Genesis, you read the creation story, one thing hits you immediately, something we take for granted. God worked through a creation week, 6 days of labor, and then the seventh day he rested. But I want you to notice that God set up the management of human time on a week of 7 days. The seven-day week was not the invention of man. It was not the institution of a church. It was not the enactment of a parliament. It was not something arrived at after trial and error. There have been occasions in history where various other nations tried other divisions of time. But the reality is that at the very beginning of the world, God laid down the seven-day week. He set the pattern in creation, and in setting that pattern, that is when he instituted the Sabbath. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I think that's very clear that that's the institution of the Sabbath. And yet there are some people who immediately object and say it doesn't say the word Sabbath there, doesn't mention a Sabbath. Then they go on to say it talks about God resting, doesn't say a word about man resting. They go even further and say, if you read the whole book of Genesis, there's no mention of the Sabbath. Throughout all the ages of the patriarchs, there's not a mention of the Sabbath until the time of Moses. So they raise this formidable argument to say the Sabbath was not instituted at creation at all. Now, why is this important? Because obviously, whatever God instituted at creation, even prior to the fall of man, is obviously not ceremonial, it is not transient, it is moral, and it is permanent. Thus you have the attempt to remove the institution of the Sabbath from the creation. But the scriptures won't allow it. It's beyond all doubt that Genesis 2 was speaking of the Sabbath. The text we read this evening in Exodus chapter 20 makes that very clear. The Lord is referring back in this fourth commandment to the creation week, and he's drawing the direct parallel, the direct identification between the day that he rested and the day that they are to rest. It was the Sabbath that he set up. We have read in Exodus 31:17, the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? Because in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Furthermore, we read, the Lord sanctified this day. And then we read, the Lord blessed this day. Now the question is, sanctified it to whom? Set it apart to whom? Blessed it to whom? Certainly not to himself. Obviously, when he set apart this day, he sanctified it for man, and he blessed it to man. And the fact that and it's quite true, the scripture is silent on the Sabbath day, from the creation right through to the time of Moses. The fact that there is no mention of that doesn't prove that the Sabbath, A, wasn't given, or B, was never known. It may prove that apostasy had set in. I mean, how many churches will you go to in America today to hear any mention of the Sabbath day? Does the silence of the pulpit indicate that God has abrogated the law? No, it doesn't. It just indicates backsliding. And it may do that in the book of Genesis too.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.